الله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. اللهم افتح علينا بحكمتك وانشر علينا برحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We started in the last session studying a phase in the history of the children of Israel, of Bani Israel, after Musa alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Al-Baqarah that there was a time that Bani Israel went through a period of defeat, period of weakness, after they were able to be strong in the land of Palestine at the time of Yeshua, at the time of Joshua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the land for them. And then years after that, and according to the scholars of tafsir, maybe centuries after that, at least more than 100 years, that they went through a period where they were subjected to a series of defeats by the pagans, by the non-believers of the land at that time. And Allah starts the story of the second phase of the history of Bani Israel at a time when they were at their low, where the time they were defeated, where the time where their children have been taken into prison, imprisonment, into slavery, at a time where they were expelled of settlements and land that they have acquired. Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الْمَلَأِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيٍّ لَهُمْ ابْعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ قَالَ هَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِنْ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ أَلَّا تُقَاتِلُوا قَالُوا وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا وَأَبْنَائِنَا فلما كتب عليهم القتال تولوا إلا قليلا منهم والله عليم بالظالمين. In Surah Al-Baqarah verse 246, Allah says, have you not seen about the group of the children of Israel after the time of Musa? When they said to a prophet of theirs, appoint for us a king and we will fight in Allah's way. He said, would you then refrain from fighting if fighting was prescribed for you? They said, why should we not fight in Allah's way while we have been driven out of our homes and our children, the families have been taken as captive? But when fighting was ordered for them, they turned away, all except few of them, and Allah is all aware of the wrongdoers. So at that point, Allah says that He sent them a prophet. And the prophet, they asked the prophet, they came to their prophet, and according to the scholars, that prophet was Samuel, or Samuel, or Shamuel. That prophet told them, you are asking to fight in the way of Allah, but would you fight if fighting has been prescribed for you? And they described their situation and said, yeah, we would fight because we've been wronged, we've been expelled of our homes, and our children have been taken as slaves. And to lead the fight, Allah sends them a leader. Allah sends them a king. And that king was Talut. Talut, what is known today in the literature as Shaul, Talut was sent as a malik, as a king for the children of Israel. And that's what we went through in detail in the last session, but I will recap for the benefit of the brothers and sisters that were not there, and because it is a continuation to what we're trying to study tonight, inshallah, and that is Prophet Dawood, alayhi salam. So their prophet, Samuel, said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا. Allah, indeed, has appointed Talut as a king for you. And they were surprised by that choice. They were surprised, how come Talut becomes the king? They said, قَالُوا أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ عَلَيْنَا وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ مِنْهُ وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ. They said, Talut, how can he be a king over us when we are fitter than him for the kingdom. We are fitter than him to be kings. And he has not been given enough wealth. So according to the mentality of them, was how can this non-wealthy person be a king? You know, kings have to be wealthy. Kings have to be people of enormous resources. But Allah is all wise, and Allah is all knowledgeable. And Allah is responding to their prayer. They wanted a leader to take them into battle. They wanted a leader to free them from slavery. They wanted a leader to return their land that was taken away from them back to them. They did not need a wealthy person. They needed a person of different qualities. And that's what Allah has chosen for them. They protested that choice. They objected to that choice of Allah. They said, he is not rich enough to be a king. But the Prophet said, قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah has chosen him of you, over you, and above you. And that's enough reason. He does not have to explain above that. We as Muslims, we as people who submit to the will of Allah, we don't need Allah to explain his choices for us. We do not need Allah to justify and rationalize for us things that we may or may not understand. But out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of the enormous and infinite wisdom of Allah, he many times tells us why things have been prescribed for us and why things we have prevented to do. Allah tells us our prohibition and the things that we are allowed to do, and many times tells us why this and why is that. But Allah does not need to tell us that. Islam is all about submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, and we obey. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. We hear, we listen, and we obey. So their Prophet is reminding them from that fact. As you protesting the choice of Talut, said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah has chosen him. That's enough. But yet he explained out of the mercy of Allah, and out of the wisdom, وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ. Allah has increased him abundantly in knowledge and in stature. He was physically strong. He was befitting. He was fit to be a leader in times where there is a battle. There is going to be a confrontation with the enemy. So he had wisdom, he had knowledge, and yet he was physically able to lead the children of Israel at that time. So he's explaining to them that yet Allah chosen him. You don't know what's good for you. Allah knows what's better for you. You needed a wealthy person, but Allah sent you this man who is better and more fitting in this particular situation for you. And then said, وَاللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And it is to be understood that it is not befitting of a believing woman or a believing man when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains something that we would have an argument against it. In Al-Ahzab, as in an admonishment and a reminder and a commandment to this ummah, to the ummah of the perfect religion of Islam, Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنًا إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. It is not for a believer, man or woman, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter that they should have any option in their decision. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed strayed into a plain error. And then yet out of the mercy of Allah, and out of more reassurance to the Israelites, Allah gave them a clear sign. He said, the Prophet said, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ, we continue in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ آيَةَ مُلْكِهِ أَن يَأْتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتُ فِيهِ سَكِينَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وبقية مما ترك آل موسى وآل هارون تحمله الملائكة إن في ذلك لآية لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين. And their prophet said to them, verily, the sign of his kingdom, the sign that he has been appointed a king, is there shall come to you the Ark of the Covenant. Now the Ark of the Covenant is a box where the children of Israel has preserved many of the relics of Musa and Harun. And the scholar said that in that box there were the tablets that Allah has given Musa. There were some of the miracles that's been preserved, like the food that has been descended for them when they were in the desert, al-mannu wa-salwa. There are many things that are clear signs of prophethood and miracles of Musa that were preserved in that ark. And that ark was confiscated by the enemies of the Israelites at that time, after they lost it in a battle. And they used to carry that ark with them, that box with them, into a battlefield to get the blessing of it, to be reminded of Musa alayhi salam, to be reminded of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet, they lost that in one of these battles, and it was gone. It was gone for many, many years. Allah knows how many. And the prophet said that there is going to be a sign, an indisputable sign, that Talut is appointed as a king, because Allah will return that ark for you and it will descend to you before your eyes carried by angels. Huge miracle. Before their eyes, to make sure they understand that that person Talut, Shaul, has been appointed by Allah to lead them. He said, إِنَّ آيَةَ مُلْكِهِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتُ فِيهِ سَكِينَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. That ark of the covenant, wherein is tranquility, peace and reassurance from your Lord, and a remnant of that which Musa and Harun left behind, carried by the angels. Verily, in this there is a sign for you, if you are indeed believers. So after there was just no doubt in their mind, they went on and they were called upon to fulfill what they had promised. To fulfill the covenant that they made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, send us someone so we can fight in the sake of Allah. So now, here is the leader. And then the leaders start going on with the army. But the army had to be tested. The army had to be tested in their sincerity. So when people come out to fight in the way of Allah, or to do anything for the sake of Allah, if it is truly for the sake of Allah, there has to be obedience to Allah. There has to be complete dedication to the Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they had to be tested. Because anyone who is with the army that is not in their heart and their sincerity went out with the army to fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they become burden on that army. They don't help anything. Allah said about al-munafiqeen, about the hypocrites, when they would not go out in the way of Allah, and they come up with excuses. In the battle of Uhud, they returned actually, just before the battle. They weakened the morale of the Muslim army by coming back, by leaving the battleground even before the battle started. Allah says, when they come out with you, if they come out with you, those hypocrites, لا يزيدونكم إلا خبالة. They increase you none but in weakness. The strength of the believers does not come from the number of the fighters. Doesn't come from the equipment that they carry with them. It comes from the heart. And if the heart is not strong, then the army is weak. No matter how many of them there are, no matter how much equipment they have. So this army had to be tested. And that test was not left as a surprise for them. Was not a hidden test. The king said to them, فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ. You will be tested by a river. The test was clear for them. They were given, so if you go to a test and you've already been given the questions and the answers, all you need to do is to answer the questions right. Yet, he told them that Allah will send you a river and that river will be a test for you. Those who drink plenty out of that river, they are not of me. مَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. And those who will not touch it, they are of me. They can go with me. إِلَّا مَنِ اغْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ Except those who have a handful of water. And they have water in the hollow of their hands. So, yes, they were allowed. The army is thirsty and they had to pass by a river. So they want to drink out of the river. And they were allowed to drink a handful or whatever is can the hollow of a hand accommodate. But anything more than that is not allowed. It's a test. It's a test of patience and it's a test of obedience. To have to stop your desires and think about obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah said, فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُمْ The majority of them drank out of that water, except a few of them. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَهُ So everyone who disobeyed the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was left behind, was not allowed to continue the army. But Allah says the majority of them did, and only few did not. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ And then, when they crossed the river, he, Talut, and those who believed with him, they looked at each other and they found themselves close to about 300 people. That's all what's left out of that army. And they were about to face thousands and thousands of their enemies. قَالُوا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ Today, we have no power with Jalut, Goliath, and his soldiers. Said, how can we fight those people? They were called in the ancient Arabic language al-Amaliq, the giants. Right? They were physically very strong and they were high in stature. In a battlefield where the battle is man to man, these people were of a presence, of a commanding presence on a battlefield. So the Israelites needed numbers to fight them. And now after this test of the river, there were only few left of them. And the army said to themselves, "We, how can we fight? We have no power. There's not enough of us left." And then Allah says, قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ But those who knew with certainty that they were going to meet Allah, those who went out wanted nothing but the pleasure of Allah. In their hearts, all they wanted to do is to please Allah, and their joyous moment would be when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It won't martyr them. They just cared only about obeying Allah and fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they said, so what? كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرًا How many times, how often a small group overcome a mighty group, a much bigger group, by Allah's leave, by Allah's will. And Allah is with the patient. You have to show patience, you have to show perseverance, you have to show endurance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And according to the hadith, that when those who actually went with Talut, with Goliath, according to hadith, authentic hadith, in Sahih al-Bukhari, they were the number of the people that fought the Battle of Badr. The number of the people that were with Jalut was equal to the people that actually fought the Battle of Badr with the Prophet ﷺ. Only few. And according to the hadith of al-Bara, بِضْعَةَ عَشْرَ وَثَلَاثُمِئَةَ 310 or a little bit more than 310, meaning between 310 and 315, something like that. And we know that the majority of ulama said 314 people are the ones that fought the Battle of Badr. But all of them were believers. All of them were true in their belief. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests people. In Al-Imran, Allah says, وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ Allah may test and purify the believers from sins and destroy the disbelievers. Do you think that you will enter paradise before Allah test those of you who fought in His cause and those And also test those who are patient. Al-Jannah paradise is a precious thing. أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةَ أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ الْجَنَّةِ The precious prize has to come to those who are patient, those who are dedicated, those who are sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that sincerity and that patience had to be tested by Allah. And it is the same way. It doesn't have to be a battle. Allah tests our patience. Allah tests our endurance. Allah tests our sincerity before Him. It is not enough to say we believe. We have to show Allah that we believe. And Allah will test us with many opportunities. We will be tried. And we have to think of life as a continuous test and a continuous trial. And if we trip and fall in one test, we need to stand up and keep on. And be patient. And endure. And understand the reality and the sincerity of the test that we have to go through. So they met that army. وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ And then, when they advanced to meet Goliath and his forces, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ Our Lord, pour forth on us patience and set firm our feet and make us victorious over the disbelieving people. And then they defeated them. فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتُ And then David, Dawood, killed Goliath, killed Jalut. وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ And Allah gave Dawood, David, the kingdom after Talut was gone. And wisdom. And the word wisdom comes in many times in the Quran as prophethood. When talking about prophets, when they say أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْحِكْمَةِ it means wisdom, knowledge, and also prophethood. So in this ayah, Allah tells us that Dawood alayhi salam combined two positions. Just before Dawood and the children of Israel, they had a prophet and a king. The prophet was Shamuel or Samuel, and the king was Shaul or Talut. Right? Now David, Allah says, وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ He became the king and the prophet of the children of Israel. وَعَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاءُ And taught him of what Allah he willed. Then Allah says, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ And if Allah did not check one set of people by means of another, the earth would indeed be full of mischief. Allah does not let anybody have an absolute, supreme, and unchecked power on the face of the earth. It never happens and it will not happen. Well, look at history. There will be dominating cultures. There will be dominating forces. There will be dominating armies. But they are always opposed by others. And eventually, they will go into a demise and they will go into a downfall. That's just history. The problem is every culture or every dominating force or every superpower and the height of their power, they get to the height of their arrogance. And they think that that's it. It's never, whatever happened to other people, well, that's old history. Well, guess what? History repeats itself. It happens to every dominating superpower. That eventually the wheels will turn and the things that were up will come down. And Allah says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ There are the days they are in turns amongst people. And that's the way of Allah. And the only thing that lasts is iman, is faith. True, sincere faith to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only thing that cannot be shaken. You can be faithful if you're poor, and you can be faithful if you're rich. You can be faithful if you're weak, and you can be faithful if you're strong. You can be truly a believer if you live in the superpower of this world, and you can be just as much of a believer if you live in a whatever is called now a third world backward country. Faith does not know an outward appearance. But everything else changes. Allah says, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ We gave an example in the last session. Think of the Nazis. What would have happened if the Nazis were not checked by other forces? And sometimes the forces that actually check the other force are not better. I mean, the Nazis were defeated by the communists. Well, you know, you can argue which one would have been better, right? But Allah has His way. Allah checks people with other people and halt the arrogance of people by defeat from other people. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّهُ. And only Allah knows His soldiers. Allah deploy and employ certain people, willingly or unwillingly, knowingly or unknowingly, in His service, in His plan, and in His plot. يَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They plot, and Allah plots. And Allah is the best of plotters. That was basically a brief summary, or actually a little bit more than brief summary, of the last session. But that got us into the Prophet of Allah, Dawood alayhi salam. We got to the point where Dawood now is the person that the entire population of the Israelite is looking up to. He is their prophet, he is their hero, and he is their king. He is the one that killed Goliath, and he's the one with the knowledge, and he's the one with the wisdom, and he's the one with the power. He's the one with the kingdom. So we need to see how Dawood was. What was the seerah of Dawood? What was the life of Dawood? How did Dawood conduct himself? What kind of a prophet of Allah? Chosen person of Allah. And the prophets are the best of creations. The best people that ever walked the face of the earth are the prophets of Allah. No one is above them. Dawood alayhi salam. Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, وَرَبُّكَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُدَ زَبُورًا. And your Lord knows best all who are in the heavens and in the earth. And indeed, we have preferred some of the prophets above others. We have favored some of the prophets above others. And to David, we gave the Zabur, or what is known in the Western culture as the Psalms. Now, to go over this verse, there are two really... this is one of the verses where the name of Dawood alayhi salam is mentioned, in Surah Al-Isra. And in that, there is two distinct ideas here that we need to be aware of. Number one is Allah favors some prophets over another. And Allah, when Allah says Allah favors, Allah gives some books, some revelations. Allah, some prophets do not receive revelations. They have to work with the revelations of others. When we had two prophets at the time of Musa, there were Prophet Musa and Prophet Harun. Well, who's the one that received the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It was Musa. Who was the commander? Who was the higher person of the two? It was Musa. And Allah favored Musa over Harun. And it is Allah's position to do so. And it is Allah's wisdom to do so. How do we know that? From the book of Allah. Musa said, أَفَعَصَيْتَ أَمْرِي. You disobeyed my orders? When he is addressing Harun alayhi salam. So Musa was in a position to give orders to Harun, although both of them, وَأَرْسَلْنَا مَعَهُ أَخَاهُ هَارُونَ رَسُولًا. Right? Harun was a prophet of Allah. Was a great honorable prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah says, He favors some prophets over another. Well, we would say, well, how is there any contradiction with the last verses in Surah Al-Baqarah? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the final ayat of Al-Baqarah? آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ رُسُلِهِ. We do not differentiate, we do not distinguish, we do not make differences between any of their prophets? Is there any contradiction between Allah favored some prophets over another and لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله? There is not. Allah can favor anyone over anyone. But who is speaking in the final verses of Surah Al-Baqarah? The tongues of whom? The words of Allah on the tongues of the believers. We are not in position to say, oh, I think Ibrahim is better than this, or I think Musa is better than Dawood, I think Sulaiman is better than Isa. It is not for us. We have to believe in all of them, and we have to accept all of them. And whatever Allah favored one over another, we take it the way Allah described it for us. We take it how Allah has put one over another, or in custody of another, or in support of another. But we are not in any position to reject one of them and accept another. We are not in any position to favor one over another. As a Muslim, I have to believe in all the prophets of Allah and all the messengers of Allah. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. I cannot reject one prophet of Allah. If we reject one prophet that is authenticated as a prophet of Allah in this book, that takes us away from the fold of Islam, wal-iyadu billah. So that question, if it comes up, it just needs to be clarified. That yes, Allah favors one prophet over another. And we have to accept all of them. And we have to take all of them, and we have to believe in all of them. Now the second thing is وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُدَ زَبُورًا. We have, Allah says, we, as Allah speaking, subhanAllah, we gave the Zabur, the Psalms, to Dawood. I had actually a person tell me, can we read the Psalms of David in the Bible? And just, Allah says that, you know, the Psalms are true book of Allah. Can we go and read them? And there is really, most of the Psalms are just praising of Allah. The majority of it is what Allah described Dawood as, we will see that, is just praising Allah. And, you know, it's sort of a loving melody to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Lord. The answer to that is no. The books that we accept are the ones that have been preserved without interruption, with a solid chain of narration. But then whenever a book comes of Allah, it abrogates the one that is before. Even if we get a book that has been preserved, and at this point it's an impossibility. Any part of the scripture cannot even pass to the Islamic standards as a weak hadith. It doesn't. And I'm not saying that as a scientific fact. That when we look at the way we preserve our tradition and our literature and our deen, it has to be preserved to the highest level of authenticity. And we don't accept anything in the religion except as an authentic, solid, sahih hadith. Where the chain of narrators, not only uninterrupted and known, but they all have to be adil and dhabt. They all have to be trustworthy and of perfect and impeccable memory and recitation. Well, if you look at any scripture outside what we have in Islam, none of them would pass as a weak hadith. So we cannot take anything out of other books and consider it an authentic narration. The second thing is Islam and the book of Quran abrogates that is before it. And how do we know that? Is when the Prophet ﷺ saw a page of a scripture in the hands of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he became angry. And he said, if Musa was here today, he would have nothing but to follow what has been revealed to me. So if Musa alayhi salam was to be alive at the time of the Prophet ﷺ himself, he has to follow the final revelation, the revelation of Quran. So yes, we do believe that Dawood alayhi salam was a prophet and a messenger of Allah. And there has been revelations that were revealed to Dawood, to David alayhi salam. And it's called in our Aqidah as Zabur. They want to be translated as Psalms. We do believe that Dawood alayhi salam received the Psalms or as Zabur. But that is just for our knowledge, to know the status of Dawood, not to go read the Psalms of David. But Allah speaks of the favors of Dawood and the status of Dawood. Allah bestowed upon him as a youngster, Allah says, gave him knowledge, gave him prophethood, and made him a king. But there is more for Dawood. Allah says in Surah Saba, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُدَ مِنَّا فَضْلًا. We indeed bestowed grace on Dawood, favors upon Dawood. You see this person of Allah, alayhi salam, as a young man, he dedicated himself to Allah. He dedicated himself to fighting in the way of Allah for jihad. He dedicated himself to cross with the army of Talut, to face Jalut, to face Goliath. And he, and according to the majority of the scholars, as a youngster, he was in his teenage years, he faced this giant, fierce fighter with no fear except the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Takes a lot of faith, takes a lot of iman to do something like that. And Allah, those who come to Him with such faith, with such sincerity, and with such truthfulness, Allah tells us how He rewards them. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُدَ مِنَّا فَضْلًا. We have bestowed favors, grace upon Dawood. يَا جِبَالُ أَوِّبِي مَعَهُ وَالطَّيْرُ. O mountains, glorify Allah with him. Praise Allah with Dawood. So that tells us that Dawood was ذاكر. He would always have the remembrance of Allah. And he would always chant the praising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was always on his tongue. يَا جِبَالُ أَوِّبِي مَعَهُ. That the mountains were echo, and they will recite the praise of Allah and the grace of Allah with Dawood. والطير, and the birds. وَأَلَنَّ لَهُ الْحَدِيدِ. And yet Allah made iron soft for him. Allah taught him how to have iron work. So he was sort of a blacksmith, Dawood. أَنِعْمَ السَّابِغَاتِ وَقَدَّرْ فِي السَّرْدِ. Saying, make you perfect coats of mail, and balance well the rings of chain armor. وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. And work you righteousness. إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Truly I am all seer of what you do. Allah says that Dawood, a king and a prophet, was a blacksmith? Was Haddad? He used to work? And he wasn't like, you know, in a soft, thing. You know, this is hard. There is fire, there is smoke, there is char, there is, you know. And he used to, what is he doing? He's making weapons. He's making armors. He's making things that would benefit mankind to have jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the time where the children, where the Israelites were overcome by their enemies. And the thing that they need was to be able to defend themselves. Even after they defeated Goliath, Jalut and his soldiers, the enemies can come back. And they have to be able to defend themselves. And who is in front of their nation to show them an example of how to do that was the Prophet of Allah and their king and their leader and their hero, Dawood alayhi salam. Any ummah, any nation that does not want to be stepped over by another nation, they have to be able to make their own weapons. They have to be able to defend themselves and not be dependent on others to defend them. And the first person that is doing that is their king and prophet, Dawood alayhi salam. Did he need to work? He was the king. All he needed to do is be a king. He was the first person. He was the one that would make the armors for them. It tells you what are the qualities of leadership in any society, and how leaders should be, how they should be an example, and how they should put priorities depending on the time and the circumstances of their time. This was a time of weakness for the Israelites. They needed to defend themselves. They needed to preserve their dignity, their freedom. When they did not do that, they were expelled out of their houses and they were taken as slaves. And now here comes Talut and he gets them out of that. And the second king after that immediately is David, Dawood. And Dawood becomes the maker of the armor. And he would work. In the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ tells us these two beautiful qualities of Dawood ﷺ. The first quality is his praising of Allah in the most beautiful voice that you can imagine. He would beautify his voice to bring everyone to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the authority of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu in Sahih al-Bukhari, and there is also another hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet told Abu Musa, Ya Aba Musa, laqad utita mizmaran min mazamiri Ali Dawood. Abu Musa, you have been giving one of the musical wind instruments of the family of David. And it doesn't mean here that there's an actual musical instrument. But the beautiful voice of Abu Musa when he recites the Quran was as if you are listening to the most beautiful musical instrument ever. Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it is one of the recommendations and the commandments of Allah is when we read the Quran, we try to beautify our voices as much as we can. We try to learn the ahkam al-tajweed, the rules of recitations. Because the rules of recitations, we follow them. Actually, the internal harmony and the internal music of the Quran doesn't need any instruments, comes out by itself. There is nothing like the Book of Allah. And you can see people that actually listen to the Quran and may not understand one word of it. But when they listen to the recitation, they are all in awe and khushu'. They are all in humbleness. And just by listening to the words of the Quran. And that is just something that no other book has other than the Quran. And the hadith here is Alu Dawood, that the family of Dawood, starting with Dawood and his family, they had a special way. They preserved that right of the Quran. They preserved the right of Allah's remembrance to be chanted in the best beautiful way, in the most beautiful way. And the Prophet ﷺ told Abu Musa that he one time at night, when Abu Musa was reciting the Quran, the Prophet was just sitting there listening to him. And he said, Ya Aba Musa, law ra'aytani wa ana astami'u li qira'atika al-bariha, laqad utita mizmaran min mazamiri Ali Dawood. If you just see me when I was just listening to your recitation the night before. And Abu Musa said, if I knew that you were listening, I would have just even beautified it more and more. لَحَبَّرْتُهُ تَحْبِيرًا. That I would just, you know, do a lot more for you, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet ﷺ used to love to listen to the Qur'an from many other people that have beautiful recitation. And they would say, Ya Rasulullah alayka nazal, it was revealed to you, how can we sit before you and recite it? He said, no, I love to listen to it from other people. And that is just some property that is in the Qur'an. Another praise of Dawood is what Allah says in that verse, that he used to work. And Allah knows that Dawood did not need to work. The king of the Israelites, after their victory, right? And the Prophet praised his brother Dawood alayhi salam in this hadith. And this hadith in Al-Bukhari. He said, أن داود عليه السلام كان لا يأكل إلا من عمل يده. That Dawood would not eat anything that does not come out of the labor of his own hands. Now, as a king, he should just sit in his whatever palace and things come to him. It's just normal. We do that to presidents, we do that to prime ministers, to people much less than a prophet and a king. And a national hero, if you will, of those people, the Israelites. But he would not eat unless it is from the earning of his own manual labor. And in another hadith, this first hadith is on the authority of Abu Hurairah. The second one is on the authority of Al-Miqdam ibn Ma'd Yakrib. He said, مَا أَكَلَ أَحَدٌ طَعَامًا قَطْ خَيْرًا مِنْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ مِنْ عَمَلِ يَدِهِ وَإِنَّ نَبِيَّ اللَّهِ دَاوُدَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ كَانَ يَأْكُلُ مِنْ عَمَلِ يَدِهِ. And this is the Prophet saying that no one can eat anything better than to eat out of the manual labor of their own hands. And even the Prophet, and he said, and the Prophet of Allah, Dawood, used to eat from the work of his hands. Why Dawood here? I mean, many prophets actually worked. Because there is no more example than Dawood, who really did not need to work. He did not need to have manual labor, yet he worked as a blacksmith, which is a hard manual labor. And he would not eat, he would refuse to eat anything unless it's from the work of his own manual labor. And on that, I will just stop here for a few minutes and speak about how the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu, has praised people that work. Work in Islam is not only a virtue, it is a requirement for a true believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةُ أَحْيَيْنَاهَا وَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهَا حَبًّا فَمِنْهُ يَأْكُلُونَ وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا جَنَّاتٍ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ وَفَجَّرْنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْعُيُونِ لِيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ وَمَا عَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Allah tells us how He gave us all of that. لِيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ, to eat of the fruits of what He has given us. وَمَا عَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ, and the works, the labor of our hands. Allah tells us in the Quran, in Surah Yasin, to work and to eat from the labor of our hands. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعْلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا فَامْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. Allah said, He made the earth for you, and He put all those bounties for you and the favors, but you have to go on, you have to work. امْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا, walk and the earth, and work. وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ, and eat of His bounty, of His favor. And Allah says in Surah Furqan verse 20, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا إِنَّهُمْ لَيَأْكُلُونَ الطَّعَامَ وَيَمْشُونَ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. We have sent before you messengers, O Muhammad, and they would eat food and they would walk in the marketplaces. What does that mean? They walk, they stroll around. They're not walking in the mall, you know, to kind of check things out. They used to work. They used to go to the marketplace and trade. And that's how the prophets eat. We know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a shepherd. And then he was a merchant. And he worked. And he ate out of the fruit of his own labor, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said in a hadith that is agreed upon, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَأَنْ يَأْخُذَ أَحَدُكُمْ حَبْلَهِ فَيَحْتَطِبَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهِ فَيَأْتِي بِهِ فَيَبِيعَهُ فَيَأْكُلُ مِنْهِ وَيَتَصَدَّقْ مِنْهِ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنْ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ رَجُلًا أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ فَيَسْأَلَهُ أَعْطَاهُ أَوْ مَنَعَ. So this beautiful hadith, and the Prophet is swearing by Allah. And whenever the Prophet makes an oath by Allah, we better listen. Because the Prophet ﷺ would not make an oath unless it's a matter of great importance. And the Prophet said, with that whom my soul in his hand, one of you, if they would just take a rope, and they go and they gather wood for the fire, and they sell it, and out of that money they would eat, and they would give in charity, it's better for them than to go ask rich people to give them, whether they give them or not. Say, don't be a beggar. If you can do simple things as just take a rope and go gather some wood and sell it, whatever you can do, gather cans for recycling. You know, we don't burn wood that much anymore. But whatever, you know, the minimal, the most basic of a function that most people can do, except those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not, you know, they're not healthy enough to work. But that is better. To work is better than not to work. Umar radiallahu anhu, and Umar was just an example of that. He said, إِنِّي لَأَرَى الرَّجُلِ فَيُعْجِبُنِي شَكْلَهِ فَإِذَا سَأَلْتُ عَنْهُ فَقِيلَ لَا عَمَلَ لَهِ سَقَطَ مِنْ عَيْنِي. Umar said, I would see a person and I like them. I like their appearance. I like the way they are. And when I asked, what do? They say they don't work. And he said, they just drop out of my eye, meaning I have no respect for them anymore. Umar said, he would come to people sitting in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. كان يأتي إلى قوم قابعين في المسجد بعد صلاة الجمعة. They would sit after Jum'ah, and they would just sit there in the masjid. And Umar said, who are you? They said, نحن المتوكلون على الله. We are the people of tawakkul. You know, we are relying on Allah to send us our rizq. And Umar would take his stick. You know, he had a durra. And with that stick he used to really, he taught this ummah after the Prophet ﷺ and after Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, the straight path. And he would take this and they would hit him. He would poke him. He said, move. He said, لا يقعد أحدكم عن طلب الرزق يقول اللهم ارزقني اللهم ارزقني. Don't sit here and not work and say, oh Allah, send me, oh Allah, send me, oh Allah, send me. He said, إن السماء لا تمطر ذهبا ولا فضة. Heaven will not pour gold and silver upon you. Allah will not send the money, you know, in a basket from heavens for you. And he said, إنما إن الله تعالى يرزق الناس بعضهم من بعض. Allah send your sustenance, your provision from other people. You have to go get it. Yes, Allah guarantees your provision. وَرِزْقُكُمْ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَمَا تُوعَدُونَ وَرَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. Yes, truthfully, Allah guaranteed us our provision, but we have to do our part. That is through tawakkul. So they would sit there in the masjid and said, we are the mutawakkilun. We rely on Allah. We're going to sit and Allah will send us our provision. And Umar would poke him with his stick. He said, you go and work. And then he said, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah says in Surah Al-Jum'ah, when prayer is over, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Move on and spread in the land. وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. And seek the bounty of Allah. Yes, it is for you. But Allah said, ابْتَغُوا. Seek it. Work for it. That is true Islam. That is our religion. We're practical people. We believe in Allah. We trust in Allah. We rely on Allah. But we have to do our part to get the bounty of Allah and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One time, on the authority of Ka'b ibn Ajra radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting along with his companions and they saw a man working. And the man was so strong, and he was good, and he was really working hard. Just regular labor. And the Sahaba admired that. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, لو كان هذا في سبيل الله, only of all that work was in the way of Allah. He said, you know, we want people like that to work for the sake of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ said in this beautiful hadith, he said, إن كان خرج يسعى على ولده صغارا, فهو في سبيل الله. وَإِنْ كَانَ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى عَلَىٰ أَبَوَيْنِ شَيْخَيْنِ كَبِيرَيْنِ فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَإِنْ كَانَ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ يُعِفُّهَا فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He said, if it was for the sake of Allah, if he was working to feed his children, that is in the sake of Allah. And if he was working to feed his elderly parents, that is in the sake of Allah. And if he was working to feed himself, so he wouldn't beg other people to give him, that is in the way of Allah. The Prophet of Allah redefining the honor of labor for us. The Sahaba said, oh, we wish only that was in the way of Allah. The Prophet said, if he truly was working to feed his children, to feed his parents, or even to feed himself, that is in the way of Allah. So let's make the intention brothers and sisters, when we do something like that, is we are doing it fi sabilillah. So our hours, our long hours, Allah knows, and this, most of us, alhamdulillah, the majority of us, especially the brothers in the, you know, the Islam, work hard. Let's make it in the way of Allah. Let's make it fi sabilillah. Make the intention that it would be in the way of Allah. The Prophet said, "Man amsa kallan min amali yadihi amsa maghfuran lah." Those who, when they go to bed, they're tired from the labor of their hand, they're tired from working, they sleep and they're forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as the intention is pure. And what else Prophet Dawood had? We're going over how we're trying to learn from Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. The Prophet of Islam, Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. The Prophet praised Dawood for him being to beautify his voice, reciting the words of Allah. He praised him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by him depending on his own manual labor to feed himself. And then his worship. His dedication in the worship of Allah. Prophet Dawood, as narrated by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحَبُّ الصَّلَاةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ صَلَاةُ دَاوُدَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. The most beloved prayer to Allah is that of Dawood alayhi salam. And that's in his connection, his dedication, and his putting all his effort in remembrance of Allah, as we said in his remembrance and his chanting the praises of Allah. And then the Prophet said, وَأَحَبُّ الصِّيَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ صِيَامُ دَاوُدَ. So what is the prayer of Dawood? What is the fasting? How did he made his salah? And how did he made his siyam? The Prophet explains in this hadith. The Prophet said, كَانَ يَنَامُ نِصْفَ اللَّيْلِ وَيَقُومُ ثُلُثَهُ وَيَنَامُ سُدُسَهُ. He would sleep half of the night, then pray one third of it, then sleep one sixth of it. So he would pray, go to bed, sleep half the night, get up, pray one third of it, and then go back to bed for the one sixth. How much is that? One half and one third and one sixth. That's one. It's just a trivia here. So he would go one half. That sums up to the full night, obviously. So one half of the night he would sleep, and then he would get up one third and praise Allah and do his Qiyam al-Layl, and then he goes back to bed in the last one-sixth of the night. And then go back up, obviously, for al-Fajr, for the morning prayer. So how about his fasting? He said, وَيَصُومُ يَوْمًا وَيُفْطِرُ يَوْمًا. He would fast one day, and then he would break his fast the next day. He would alternate. One day he's fasting, the second way he's not fasting. And that came up with when some of the Sahaba came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they wanted to keep fasting every day. And the Prophet said, that's too much. Don't overburden yourself with that. And they would say, we can fast 5 days out of the week. The Prophet would say, don't burden yourself with that. And then he prayed, told them the best, the most beloved faith, if you want to just really put all your effort and you'd love to fast, then the best fasting is the fasting of Dawood alayhi salam, where he would fast one day and he will break his fast the second way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Dawood in Surah Sa'd. He said, اصبر على ما يقولون واذكر عبدنا داود ذا الأيد إنه أواب. Be patient, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for what they say, and remember our slave Dawood, endued with power, ذا الأيد, that he had multiple powers, and it all came from that, all of that we mentioned tonight, of his dedication in worship, of his sincerity in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his sincerity in the fighting in the way of Allah, and him being an example for his people in his hard labor, and in putting the priority of what they should be before them. Innahu awab, indeed, he is oft returning in all matters in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Awab. Aba means come back. And Allah praises His messengers, many of them, as awabin. as those who return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَشَّابُ التَّائِبُ حَبِيبُ اللَّهِ. A repenting youth is Habibullah, a beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why the youth, Ya Rasulullah? Because sometimes, you know, people in their older years, they're just not strong enough to even commit a sin. You know, sinning becomes not an option at that point. So, and Allah inshallah will accept repentance of everyone. But if someone is repenting to Allah, and they have all these hormones, and all these desires, and all of the abilities to do the sin, and yet they refrain and abstain, and they return to Allah, even after sin, Allah loves them. أَشَّابُ التَّائِبُ حَبِيبُ اللَّهِ. Allah loves those who do that. We ask Allah to be of them. And Allah says, إِنَّ سَخَّرْنَا الْجِبَالَ مَعَهُ يُسَبِّحْنَ بِالْعَشِيِّ وَالْإِشْرَاقِ وَالطَّيْرَ مَحْشُورَةً كُلٌّ لَهُ أَوَّهَابٌ. We have made mountains to glorify our praises, the praises of Allah, with him, with David, in the mid of the day until sunset, and at the break of day. وَالطَّيْرَ مَحْشُورَةً. And the birds assembled, كُلٌّ لَهُ أَوَّهَابٌ. They all are obedient to him. So he was awab. Listen, look, if you look at the Arabic words, Allah says, awab, he was awab to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahu awab. And then the birds, kullun lahu awab. They are obedient to David, to Dawud alayhi salam. And there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is similar to that. That when the servant of Allah becomes closer to Allah, Allah loves him. If لا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه. The hadith starts, is a hadith Qudsi, that Allah says, there is nothing that will draw my servant closer to you than to do what I have made obligatory for him. The best qurba ila Allah, the best thing that we get close to Allah with, is to do our fara'id. To do what Allah has made an obligation for us. But then, after that, the abid will do more, will do nawafil. We ask Allah to be of them, and we do many nawafil until Allah loves that person. And when Allah loves that person, Allah says, I becomes the hearing that he hears with. Now I becomes the vision that he sees with. Now I becomes the hands that he battles with. So, Dawood was obedient to Allah. Allah made everything obedient to him, even the mountains and the birds. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards those. And Allah says, وَشَدَدْنَا مُلْكَهُ. And we have made his kingdom strong. وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحِكْمَةَ وَفَصْلَ الْخِطَابِ. And we gave him wisdom or prophethood and sound judgment in speech and in decision. So we see that the kingdom of the Israelite, how was weak and shattered and oppressed before the time of Talut, and how it became at the time of Dawood because of the wisdom of Dawood and his dedication and the example that he put. He was the example. He was the worker. He didn't sit in a palace and told his people to work. He was the blacksmith that would make the armors for them. That was Dawood alayhi salam as a leader. And finally, do we have time? 5 minutes? In Surah Sad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of a story of the things that Allah does as tarbiyah, as training of prophets. How Allah teaches the prophets lessons and teaches the entire humanity the same lessons after that. This is a story Allah says, Allah recites, Allah tells us in Surah Sad, وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ نَبَأُ الْخَصْمِ إِذْ تَسَوَّرُوا الْمِحْرَابِ إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُودَ فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ خَصْمَانِ بَغَى بَعْضُنَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ فَاحْكُمْ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تُشْطِطْ وَاهْدِنَا إِلَى سَوَاءِ الصِّرَاطِ. Allah says, has the news of the legitimate reached you when they climbed over the wall of the mihrab, of the prayer place of Dawood? And they entered upon Dawood, and he was terrified of them. People that jumped over the fence and walked into the place where he was in solitude, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his habit was, as we studied. So these people jump and they enter with no permission into his presence. فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ He was terrified of them. قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ Said, don't be afraid. خَصْمَانِ We are two litigants. بَغَى بَعْضُنَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ One of whom has wronged the other. We have a conflict. فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تُشْطِطْ وَهْدِنَا إِلَى سَوَاءِ الصِّرَاطِ So, judge between us with truth and treat us not with injustice and guide us to the right way. So one of them started explaining. He said, إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي This is my brother. And it could be my biological brothers, but it could be my brother of religion. So they were from the Muslims of the Israelites. إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي لَهُ تِسْعٌ وَتِسْعُونَ نَعْجَةً He has 99 sheep, my brother. وَلِيَ نَعْجَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ And I have only one sheep. فَقَالَ أَكْفِلْنِيهَا وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ So he said, hand it over to me, and he have overpowered me in speech. So he said, I have only one sheep, and my brother has 99 sheep. So my brother wants to take my only sheep and put it with his 99 sheep. How fair is that? So Dawood said, قَالَ لَقَدْ ظَلَمَكَ بِسُؤَالِ نَعْجَتِكَ إِلَى نِعَاجِ David, Dawood immediately said, without listening to the opponent, he has wronged you by demanding your sheep in addition to his sheep. And verily, وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَّا هُمْ And Dawood said, And verily, many partners oppress one another except those who believe and do righteous deeds, and they are few. And that was a test for Dawood alayhi salam. The Mufassirin said those two people that came to him were two angels trying to test him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dawood was being trained to be in good judgment, to be the fair judge, the king, the ruler, who sees only fairness. And what did he do wrong in this position here? Now the case appeared very, very simple to most of us. Someone has 99 sheep, and the other person has only one. And here's this one with the 99 sheep wants to take the other person's sheep. He did not listen to the other person. And then Dawood immediately understood. وَظَنَّ دَاوُودُ أَنَّ مَا فَتَنَّاهُ And Dawood guessed that we have tried him, that we are testing him. فَاسْتَغْفَرَ رَبَّهُ He sought forgiveness. وَخَرَّ رَاكِعًا وَأَنَابُ And then he fell down prostrate and turned to Allah in repentance. And in this particular position, there is a sajda. According to some scholars, it is not a mu'akkada. This is not a confirmed sajda. And according to others, it is a confirmed. So those of you who want, because you already listened to that recitation, if you want to do sajda after the session, inshallah, you can. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَغَفَرْنَا لَهُ ذَلِكَ So we forgave him that. وَإِنَّ لَهُ عِنْدَنَا لَزُلْفَى وَحُسْنَ مَآبٍ And verily for him is a near access to us and a good place of final return. And Allah is showing us how he forgave Dawood for his hastiness. And the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, he warned the ummah that when you come and you show your case before any judge, even if it is the Prophet of Allah, then you have to be careful. The Prophet said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ وَإِنَّكُمْ تَخْتَصِمُونَ إِلَيْهِ I am only a human, and you opponents come to me. وَلَعَلَّ بَعْضَكُمْ أَن يَكُونَ أَلْحَنَ بِحُجَّتِهِ مِنْ بَعْضٍ وَأَقْضِي لَهُ عَلَى نَحْوِ مَا أَسْمَعُ Some of you may present their case more eloquently, better than the others. And I would consider them true. I would give them a judgment in their favor. فَمَنْ قَضَيْتُ لَهُ مِنْ حَقِّ أَخِيهِ شَيْئًا فَلَا يَأْخُذْ فَإِنَّمَا أَقْطَعُ لَهُ قِطْعَةً مِنَ النَّارِ Those who I gave them any portion of the right of another person, I only give them a piece of hell. He said, "What if you were able to present your case, and the judge will give the verdict in your favor, then that whatever you got is not but a piece of torment in this life and in the hereafter." Wallahu a'lam. So Dawood alayhi salam, David, when he was presented with these two arguments, he gave his verdict before listening to the other side. And Allah is teaching us and teaching the judges and teaching those who listen. And it could be for anything. Don't make your mind up before you listen to two sides of any conflict, of any story. There are two sides. And don't be taken by one side, even if it was eloquent, even if it was such a clear and obvious evidence. You have to always look at the other side. Now, this particular story has been narrated in many different ways, and there is many unauthentic and offensive things against the Prophet of Allah, Dawood, David, that we would even not mention in this. And all the ulama, all the scholars of tafsir, they said you have to disregard all of these things that are offensive, and they harm the reputation, or trying to harm the image of Dawood alayhi salam. Whatever those stories are, the story is as clear and as simple as it is mentioned in the Quran. And anything beyond that is not something that would be acceptable. How would Dawood, David, be such a person of what has been portrayed as an evil character, somebody who drives, who follows his own desires? And then Allah says about him, immediately after that, يَا دَاوُدُ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ فَاحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلِّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. We have made you Khalifa, a successor on earth. Allah chooses His successors. Allah chooses the people, خلفاء الأرض, from the best of people. And Dawood alayhi salam was one of the best of creation. The prophets of Allah, the messengers of Allah are the best of creation. But Allah admonishes us, and Allah teaches us through this story, as He told Dawood, فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Judge among people, judge between men in truth and justice, and follow not your desire. فَيُضِلَّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. For it will mislead you from the path of Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُضِلُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا نَسَوْا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ. Those who wander astray from the path of Allah shall have a severe torment because they forgot the day of the reckoning. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow upon us the wisdom of Dawood, the wisdom of David, the patience of David, the patience of Dawood, the sabr, and also the worship. May Allah make us of those who made qiyam, the prayer at night like Dawood used to do, and to make siyam like Dawood used to do, and to be able to recite and praise and chant the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way Dawood was. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us with this. Whatever good came out of this is from Allah, and whatever otherwise is from my ignorance and from shaitan. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَيَا فَوْزَ مُسْتَغْفِرِينَ. جزاكم الله خير.